In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One might well wonder, what does bluegrass music have to do with the Feast of St. James? Nothing, really, other than the fact that it is the Feast of St. James, our patronal feast, and our organist is at a music conference. So we thought, good excuse to have some good music here with us. Not that we usually don't, but some different good music. Sorry, Joey. No, we always have good music. But then, looking at it a little more deeply, as Betsy and I were sitting down trying to look at their repertoire, thank you, Delta String Band, it's been wonderful so far, and we really enjoy it, of songs and such they thought might be appropriate, we're looking at the lyrics, and quite frankly, bluegrass is all death and dying. I don't know if you ever listened to the lyrics. It's kind of hard, because you're tapping your foot so much. It's these happy tunes and mournful lyrics. And in many ways, that's James. I mean, the one major reading we have about him, we get either his death at the hands of, who was it, Herod, that was trying to show off for the people. So he grabbed one of the apostles, happened to be James, and had him killed, and that worked, so let's get some more, and arrested Peter. Or, kind of to add insult to death here, our reading from Matthew is not James's most shining moment in Scripture. Not that he has a lot, usually he's just and James. Jesus takes Peter and James and John, and they go, and Peter says stuff, and James is there. So he's part of the inner circle, but he doesn't do much, really, except get killed. And then this rather ignominious moment here where his mama comes up to say, hey, Jesus, when you get all powerful and everything, let my boys be your left and right hand. And I want to think that James and John, oh, mom, don't do this. But in other Gospels, they don't send their mama, they just go and ask this. So it may have been Matthew trying to soften things up. However it is, it was an audacious thing to ask, to be seated at the left and right hand of Jesus when he comes into his kingdom. If I throw a dinner party, which is not that often, it's usually sit wherever you can find a clear spot. But some people it's more formal, and then you have the host and the hostess, and the seating is very important, and who sits at the left hand and the right hand. It's honored positions. And that's what they were asking for here, to sit in honored positions. And the other 10 were like, who do they think they are? Oh yeah, they got cool nicknames, Sons of Thunder and all, but other than that, what's the big deal with them? We're here, we're doing the work, well, except for Judas, but you know, that's a different thing. But they're all a bit upset. And Jesus, instead of saying you're right to be upset, he said, think about it this way. The whole point here is that you're not trying to be great through being a leader. If you want to lead, serve. And it's that same kind of idea with bluegrass music, that there is glory and there is honor, but it comes from getting your hands dirty and from serving and from being humble. It's that paradox, that dichotomy that we hold together, that we lead best when we serve most. And that's totally not the American ethos. It tends to be look out for number one, get out there and be in charge and do it and run roughshod over the competition and make sure you're the best one. But Christianity is different. It's not about, hey, look at me, I'm awesome. It's about, can I serve you? What can I do? And that means serving everyone. When we have our baptismal covenant, part of that is that we will seek and serve Christ in all persons. And that lets nobody off the hook. There is nobody that we can look at and say, you're not worthy of my love and attention. And it's for a very simple yet profound reason. It's because God loves them. And we cannot write off anyone that God loves. And if God can love me, if God can love you, God can love anyone, because we are not perfect. We are not great. We are not awesome. We're not anywhere near it. We may not be the worst, but that didn't do any good. We're still so far from the best, it doesn't even bear comparison. And yet, God loves us and loves those around us. And can we say that we have higher standards than God? That we have more that must be met before we can love someone than God needs? I mean, God created us. God created all things, seen and unseen. God created us to love God and to love each other. James wasn't doing much wrong. He didn't call much attention to himself, but he's the first one that gets off for being a disciple, the first to be martyred among the 12. Just going about his business, fishing with his dad, they're in the boat, and Jesus calls, and he follows. Couldn't help himself. This was too awesome to pass up, and it cost him his life. Fortunately, we live in a time and a place where just following Christ won't cause us to lose our lives. Just things that we used to think were important about our lives. To be thought important by other people. To be thought a leader by others. When what God wants us to be thought of as servants, that we serve others. Cheerfully, joyfully, giving of ourselves. Because our Lord Christ gave himself. And we like to think, oh yeah, I'd be ready, I'd lay down my life, no problem. That's easy, because we know it's never going to happen, probably. But I'll put others ahead of myself. I'll think of others before myself. It's kind of easy with family, perhaps with those in the church that we know and love personally. But the other? Those who are neighbors only because they live by us. When Christ was asked, who is my neighbor? He said, well, the Samaritan up the road that you hate, he's one of them. That's the tougher ones. And we're not going to do it by our own goodwill. It's going to take the grace and the love of God to give us the ability to love as God wants us to love. But see, that's the really cool thing about it. God asks the impossible of us, and it makes it possible. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are able to love as God wants us to love. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. All we have to do is allow God to do that in our lives. Use me. Allow me to be a servant as our Lord Christ served. It's a tough job. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's something we want to do. I'm saying it's what we are called to do. And it's up to us to decide, do we answer that call or not? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.